There are dimensions hidden in Jesus Christ our Lord, found in the very Word of God, which is expressly made known by the Holy Spirit. Join me as we welcome the ministration of God's servant, Pastor Sheyi Osoyibi, at Diocese 2019, the warfare of the kingdom. Relax, relax, enjoy the ministration.
Lord, our prayer this morning is that now and forever, that you will be glorified. You have made a declaration that as long as we live, all knees shall bow and all tongues shall confess that you are Lord. It's a determination driven by the power of your throne. It's a determination driven by the power of your being. Nothing can stop it from coming to pass. My prayer, Father, is that you will be glorified in our own lives. That we'll not just be witnesses, we'll not just be spectators, but we will be partakers of your glorification. Father, we thank you. It's a great thing, oh God. It's a great day. We thank you for the past day, for your ministers and servants that you have used. We thank you, Jesus. A new day has been born. We pray that those things that you have allotted for us for this day will be given to us in the name of Jesus. We ask for the manna for today. We ask for the bread for today. We ask for the water and the wine. We ask for the sweet things that can only be found on your table. Father, cause your people to eat. Cause them to be satisfied with the goodness of your house. Bring glory to your name. It's a determination that we learned that you will build your church. I ask you to do that again in the name of Jesus. Father, we need to learn how to cooperate with the spiritual. Father, teach us how to do that in the name of Jesus. Thank you for everyone who has come. Thank you for those who are here this morning and those who will yet join us. Let the heavens break forth upon us in the name of Jesus. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Can we just greet somebody as we take our seats? Welcome somebody as we take our seats. God bless you. Hallelujah. Bro Josh, can you break? Hallelujah. For morning session, I want people... Philip, join that group. Everybody there, let's come here. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me welcome mommy. You're welcome. Hallelujah. Lord, I appreciate mommy. Praise God. She has been taking care of all of us. And that's why I tell sisters, learn from her. There's so much to learn. God help you if you end up marrying a pastor and you don't know how to handle the ministry. So please learn while you can learn. Praise God. Amen. I want to welcome Pastor Bolu. Pastor, you're welcome in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before we move into today's ministration, let me just kind of recap what we learned yesterday. Pastor Bilo brought to our attention that there is no space that is vacant. Nowhere in creation do you have an empty space. Everything has an occupant. Hallelujah. Everything has an occupant. And the interesting thing is that once you have to expand, it's an invasion. And he said, only a stronger man can bind the strong man. Then the strongest will not bind the stronger. See, you understand? Then the Almighty will not bind the strongest. Praise God. That's that. Because recreation tells us that might is right. Do you understand? Might is right. It's those who are mighty that can dispossess the weak. That's how the world runs. Praise God. And it's actually founded on the principle of kingdoms. And we learned, though Pastor Bello didn't say this, but basically, from the beginning of Genesis, we found that God gave Adam a kingdom. Sure you understand? He gave who? How do we know he gave Adam a kingdom? He says, when we hear the word dominion, that is kingdom language. Sure you understand? Kingdom language. kingdom language. And when Satan came to fight him, he did not come carrying armor, carrying stones. How did he do the... It was just conversation. And he took the kingdom from his hands. And so when Jesus came, he told Jesus, he said, all these kingdoms. So basically Jesus came for kingdoms. Praise God. What did I say? Oh, can you please welcome Pastor Tayo? Hallelujah. Amen. We are going to get some serious opening this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, how many of you have ever listened to Pastor Tayo Ladejo before? All right. Amen. Hallelujah. So you know what. So we thank God that you're here, sir. Very grateful. It's been a long time since we saw you in Akure. Praise God. So it's about kingdom. And you found that all through the days of Israel, it was about kingdom. And you remember when Jesus ascended and he ascended and he met his, can you welcome Reverend Majasho? Welcome. Praise the Lord. Amen. The disciples asked him, when will you restore the kingdom to Israel? So it's kingdom issue. It's not church issue. It's kingdom issue. Mordecai looked at Esther and said, who knows whether he came to the kingdom for a time like this. It's kingdom. Not church. Not fellowship. Amen. And once you were born, you were not born into a church. You were born into what? Kingdom. Why? He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see. He didn't say he cannot see the church. His kingdom. I pray that God will change our orientation. Amen. It's interesting, like Pastor Epi said yesterday, that even the Muslim understands that it's about kingdom. We don't have that understanding. We have denominations in our mind. We have churches in our mind. We have doctrines. We have all kinds of funny things in our head. Not kingdom. The Bible says we come to the unity of the faith. What is that faith? It's kingdom. Hallelujah. But you see, there will be different expressions of that kingdom. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can come and get back to your churches and fellowship and say, it is not fellowship. You can't scatter fellowship. No, I'm not sending you to go and do that errand. Look, you have been raised. See, it's like when a child is born, the parents can't be there with the child. They have to send it to a nursery. Pastor Gwenga, you're welcome. Hallelujah. I've allowed you to keep your cap on because you're a bishop. No, have your seat. Praise God. Only bishops are allowed to break that protocol of wearing hats and caps. The rest of all mortal men can't do it. Praise God. My son was wearing cap. I said, you are not a bishop. Don't ever wear a cap again in church. Praise God. Where was I? Lagos. Please don't go and scatter your fellowship. Thank you, Pastor. Please, I'm begging you. So I was talking about you, God putting you in a place to grow you, to nurse you. Are you with me? That is why that fellowship and church is essential. Do you understand me? You need a place where you can flourish, where you can blossom and become a tree. Amen. But the church is not an end in itself. The fellowship is not an end in itself. Do you understand? It's a place to prepare you for something much more greater, which is the building of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? And he also made mention of quite a number of things. And I think the major problem, I guess, we have, you know, he said something yesterday that, do you know that the word, the Lord of the hosts, is mentioned more times than any other title that God has. That is quite significant. If they kept mentioning, I'm the Lord of the hosts. I'm the Lord of the hosts. And that means he's a warrior by nature. Thank God for the lamp. We used to have this lamp and they said the lamp. Lion and the lamb, Lord of the Father. And we will sing and But you forget that this little person they call Lot is a terrible warrior. Because when we met him in the last books of Revelation, the Bible says he came to war in righteousness. He didn't come as a lamb, he came as a warrior. So the last day battles need to be understood. There are battles you will fight individually. Because even your heart is a battlefield. Your heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And Proverbs says, Proverbs chapter 4 says that, guard your heart with all what? Because from that heart proceeds all the forces, not one, not two, all, that determines your destiny. So all this one that said, some people are martially against your destiny, is because your heart has not been properly arranged. There is no force in creation that can stop the heart that is properly aligned. There is nothing. Because the forces that will govern and shape your tomorrow is built here. So if I can take your heart down, I can control your tomorrow. You must. So when Pastor spoke about, okay, we're not talking about the armor of God. Do you realize that the whole armor of God is the word of God? Everything is the word. Everything is premise of the promises and the finished work of God. Salvation is finished. Righteousness is finished. Hallelujah. Do you understand? But you see, let me say one or two things about the righteousness. Yes, we thank God for what Jesus did, his righteousness. But there is another righteousness you have to produce. He saved you to produce works of righteousness too. Are you with me? Do you remember that woman? Was it Dorcas that Peter went to raise? What do you think gave Peter the platform to place a demand on heaven? What the works of her righteousness? She was useful to the church. She was a blessing. So don't say I'm the righteousness of God. Look, listen to me. People misquote that scripture, I'm the righteousness of God. He said he has imputed that his righteousness. Listen to me. I want to correct that thing. They did not impute his righteousness on you. Mm-mm. You don't understand. His righteousness gave you a platform to approach him. It's not that they imputed it. Are you with me? You were saved to prove his righteousness. You don't understand. When he said you are his righteousness, it means that it is you that will prove that God is righteous. You have to prove he is righteous. That's why you are his righteousness. You are his righteousness. It's true we say God is righteous, but we don't have a proof. So the proof that God is righteous is when we look at you, then we can say this is an evidence that God is righteous. Hallelujah. Do you understand? You are his righteousness. Go and prove that God is right. And what did God do to make him right? He said he can take clay and turn him into a son of God. He can take a non-entity like you and turn him into a champion. Am I communicating? You are the one to prove that God's statement about you is right. Then you become his righteousness. He's also our righteousness. In that sense, God is our righteousness. And the statement is our righteousness. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Amen. But when you quote that scripture, don't mix it together. There are two things. God is the one who makes us right. And how does he do that? Grace teaches us. Are you with me? It teaches us. When the blood of Christ cleanses you, you are right. But he has to keep cleansing you. You have to keep, because every time a demand comes to you, you have to do what is right. To remain right. Praise God. Do you understand? See when he says he has imputed righteousness, that does not give you right to go and misbehave. Praise God. I hope you are not confused. There are two wings to it. There are two sides to it. There is God's side and there is your own side. God's side first, which he did in Christ Jesus. Praise God. That gave you right to access him. Do you understand? Because technically no man can approach God. You don't have right. Only he who is right can approach. Then who ascend the mountain? Who ascend that holy hill? Then he said, he whose hands are clean. How can a man that is born of woman, who drinketh iniquity like water, be clean? Except they make him right. What makes you right is your faith in the finished work. That is what makes you right in God's sight. And he declares you are right. But from that point, you must remain right. You must continue to be right. So as you have received him, continue also in what? In Christ. In him. So it's a continuous thing. It's a demand upon you. And so we found out that this faith, the enemy will confront you, will fight you tooth and nail. As much as we know that these spirits are territorial, they are territorial because there are people living in those territories. That's why they are territorial. Somebody shared a testimony. A missionary was ministering in South America. Actually, it was on the border between Brazil. There was a town that the boundary of Brazil and Paraguay went through. The same people, the same village, but that boundary went through that town. He found out that when he went to talk to the people on the Brazilian side, they were very receptive to the gospel. Once he crossed into Paraguay, the same town, the same people, there was resistance. Satan, they were resisted. People don't want to talk. So there was a particular lady he approached to give the tract to, and the girl was violent. And few days after, met the girl on the Brazilian side, and the girl was like, come on, speak to me, talk to me, all right. And I was like, what is going on here? And found out that the churches in Brazil were holding the strong man down, so that the gospel could progress. While the people in Paraguay did nothing about the territorial spirits. So in your location, our problems may just be the territorial spirits. You give people tracks, you throw it away. I hear now in Akumba the cultists are rising. There's a spirit behind it. I heard that you dealt with them in your days. Who again will rise up? Maybe I need to send you back to Akumba. Okay, he said he's going back there next year. Some people need to tap some power of confronting cultists and tell them you must be born again. Even with their sword. When they know you... I heard that the time come when they were running away from you. When they say, when you died the other time, you were brother finger. They will run. You should be a terrorist. Benny, when they see you, they will just take a look. That guy is coming. Let us enter that place. You say, there I've seen you. Come. Let me pray for you. That demon inside of you, I cast it out in Jesus' name. Amen. But I can tell you, when they enter trouble, they will look for you. We need you to understand that we are at war. Let me finish with this story. And I've used to share it in church. I will not forget that story. It's a very good story. I don't know. I tell people, it's a real life story behind enemy lines. I don't know how many of you have, Pastor, have you watched it? Behind the lane, you've watched it. That young guy told his admiral on the ship, he said, sir, I want to leave the Navy. He was a Navy pilot, F-16 jet fighter. He said, I want to leave the Navy. He said, why, son? Because his father was a former naval officer, too, a friend to that admiral. He was a retired naval officer. He said, sir, why do you want to leave? He said, sir, I came here to fight war. But just flying around Bosnia and looking at people, and I can't do anything. I've seen the enemy. I can't fire at them. So I'm fed up with this kind of life. I'm going back home when I go get back to America. The guy looked at him and smiled. I said, young man, every time you step on this battleship, you are at war. Whether you fire a gun, you don't fire a gun, you are technically at war. It's a mind thing. A few weeks after, he was asked to fly over Serbia. And he and his co-pilot flew. And they saw, now there was supposed to be a peace treaty there. Nobody was supposed to be moving ammunition and all that. And they flew and they said, the Serbians are moving heavy artillery and moving all this kind of thing. They shouldn't be doing that. So he said, let us go over again. And they went over again and began to take pictures. And that's funny thing that those guys have, they had something knowing that this guy is taking pictures. They just opened their missile launcher. He's on his aircraft, said missile launcher opened, armed. Said they are firing. Those guys just released some missiles. Those are Russian bad missiles. The first one missed them, the second day one didn't miss them. And that thing shot him, got him down. His co-pilot died, they killed him, but he survived. It was the survival that led to America's intervention in that war. What am I trying to say? He wasn't mentally prepared to be shot down because he did not know he was at war. But as far as the enemy is concerned, it's war. I pray that by the time this program is over, your attitude would have changed in the name of Jesus. Please don't make the mistake that we made. In those days when we were young, every lighter complexion girl had a marine spirit. We are always looking for them. I don't know whether you remember. Let's look at them. It's a little kabashiri, blah, blah, blah. He's a marine woman. Came on, call, blah, blah, blah. So when I went to the north, I knew that you don't need to be light in complexion. You can be as black as me and you still have marine spirit. I now found that it's not only girls that have marine spirit. Boys have marine spirit. Amen. So my orientation changed. I pray God will change your orientation. In Jesus' name.
We believe you were blessed by this message. For additional information, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at PGT Church, or visit our website www.pgtchurch.org. Thank you.